Well, good morning, and to welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, May 22nd, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 11, page 157 in A Vision for You, starting with the seventh paragraph, beginning with "The Two Friends Spoke," and we'll be reading through two paragraphs this morning, ending in with "Boiled as an Owl." We're commenting on both paragraphs today. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 Steps, Karen W. for 12 Traditions. The readers of our text are Shannon M., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter today is Colleen M., and Janice P.M. will be doing our announcements, and Lynn S. Does our recording. Thank you all for your service. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that's for May 21st, 2020, is 14,671. That's 14671. And the share ID for this morning's are Friday, May 22nd, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,667. I have that wrong. 4,000, I wrote it in wrong. 4,667. I'll get back to you on that one. Sorry about that. I have it written. Sorry about that. Anyhow, I'll get you back on that one. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Pam.
Blessed morning, fellows. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. So grateful to be here with you this morning. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Pam M. And now we'll hear from Karen W., who will do our 12 traditions. Karen, good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Karen W. from Long Island, New York, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you and have a great day, everybody.
And thank you, Karen W., for your service. And I just want to give a correction here. I just want to make sure we have our numbers here. So for Thursday, May 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,667. That's 14667. And then for this morning, Friday, May 22nd, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,671. So that's 14671. Just want to give that correction to everybody. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. And that does include your personal mute button on your phone, so please use star 1 to mute and unmute. That way we have a nice, quiet meeting. We appreciate your cooperation with that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in on page 157. We're on the seventh paragraph, beginning with the two friends spoke of their spiritual experience. We're going to read through two paragraphs, ending on top of 158, beginning on 158. It says where I'd be boiled as an owl. So we're going to comment on both of those paragraphs. So to get us started, we're going to have Shannon M. to read. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. Shannon M., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. The two friends spoke of their spiritual experience and told him about the course of action they carried out. He interrupted, "I used to be strong for the church. But that won't fix it. I've prayed to God on hangover mornings and sworn that I'd never touch another drop, but by 9 o'clock I'd be boiled as an owl." And I was raised atheist, so definitely not strong for the church, but I still would ask God to help me. And then when I would binge, I'd be like, well, see, there isn't a God because I'm binging, and so my family is right. And it just would give me more and more fuel for, that there wasn't a God, 'cause I just wanted so badly, to stop but I wasn't doing that course of action that I was told. In this last relapse that I was in for 6 years, I had been previously in OA for 3 years with solid, really good abstinence, and I just wasn't done. You know, I knew I wasn't done, and I made excuses and went back. But during that 6 years, I even got baptized, which is the wrong reason to get baptized. But I thought that if I got baptized, it would just magically like change my life, and I would no longer be a compulsive overeater. But again, it was, you know, I wasn't wanting to take any action other than just doing that. Like, I didn't want to take any of the action steps that it took to be abstinent. I wanted it just to change me and make me not be a compulsive overeater anymore. And I found that that, you know, doesn't happen. And it wasn't until I started listening to these meetings that I realized that, you know, I will forever be a compulsive overeater, and I will forever need a course of action to carry out every day to have that spiritual experience and to stay connected to God. And so for this morning, you know, I've done my course of action so far. I've done my prayers and my meditation and my reading and my writing. And now I'm on this meeting, and I've talked to a sponsee, and I've talked to another compulsive overeater. And I know that I need to do those things. I need to do them throughout the day. Otherwise, I won't be able to stay abstinent. And I just think that that to me is a miracle. And so I don't have to pray out to God anymore and test God and be like, just fix this and I won't ever do it again. Because I have a program that helps me stay connected to God in a more spiritual way of like, okay, God, please show me what the next right thought and action is. And so, you know, this morning when my kids were having a very emotional morning, the next right action was to meet them where they were at and to be present with them. And because I was able to do that, I'm able to talk right now without having kids screaming in the background, which is a miracle in itself. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Shannon M., for getting us started. So I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 11 of Vision for You. We're on page 157, starting with the seventh paragraph, The Two Friends. We're going to read through two paragraphs, ending on 158. I'd be boiled as an owl. So who would like to share this morning? And before I say that, I just want to remind everyone, we so appreciate and value your experiences. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, and thank you for your cooperation. So who would like to share this morning?
Linda.
Mary G.
Okay, did I hear Marge. Linda D?
Darian K.
Mark L.
And I heard Mark. I'm sorry, I heard Mark L.
Debbie F.
I'm sorry?
Debbie F.
Debbie F as in Frank?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Linda P.
I have you, Linda D. I can take one more.
Mary G.
Mary G. Okay. So here's who we have. We have Linda D., Darian K., Mark, I think that's Mark L., Debbie F., and Mary G. All right, Linda D., you're up, followed by Darian K. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. My name is Linda. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I've just been so enjoying this vision for you, and I love this. They spoke of their spiritual experience, didn't say they spoke about God, their spiritual experience. I'm sure God was in that, of course, but I liked it stated that way, and told him about the course of action, which, of course, is the steps. And, you know, he interrupted immediately, and I super understand that, you know, because I also kind of lost hope that God could actually help me. You know, I'd had many slips and slides. I'd had years of good abstinence, but then I had many, many years of in and out and in and out. And when I came to Vision for You, I was just kind of at my wit's end, like, is there anything, you know, and will God really help me? Have I used up all my chances? That's what I thought, you know, I had used it all up. And, you know, I'm so grateful to, you know, have a different way to approach all of this. And it's not like I didn't work the steps, but I think I just did it in such earnest. And my first sponsor had said that she wanted to work with people who were chronic relapsers, and that made me kind of immediately trust this person knew what she was talking about. And she gave me such hope, you know, that, you know, she'd been there, that you know, this can work, and it really, really has, like nothing else. And I'm very grateful for that, and grateful for this chapter in the big book. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Linda D. Darian K., you're up, followed by Mark L.
Hi there. It's Darian K. in the Berkshires. You hear me okay?
I sure can.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Yes, this paragraph definitely is good for me to read. So reminds me of my diet days and the, you know, just the, like, I can't do that, or nah, I don't think I can do that. Maybe I can do a little bit of that, and expecting it to work perfectly when I would just take, you know, bits and pieces. And you know, before program, God was for the big stuff, right? For these pandemics and war and peace and sometimes a boyfriend, which was pretty big for me, or, you know, things that just seem like out of my reach, right? But I always thought that somehow I could get back on the stick on Monday, and try to diet again, try to eat the right foods and lose the weight. And well, it didn't last, didn't even last a day. You know, I was so grateful that my first sponsor was very gentle with me in regard to, like, the God piece. And, you know, I really think that in the beginning, the meetings and my sponsor was my higher power, because they just seemed larger than life at that time. And, like, I think she had like 2 years or something. And I was like, whoa, how can you possibly do this for that long? And you know what? She's still in program today, and that's over 35, 36 years. So amazing. But, you know, I just, the way that it's put about, you know, how that prospect just has trouble, you know, with that spiritual piece, you know, it's not even the spiritual piece, it's the God piece. And if you look at it that way, as the God that maybe you grew up with, in a synagogue or in a church, that could be a problem. But, you know, I learned early on that I needed to find a practical God, one that would work for me, that would be inside of me, in my heart, and, you know, and be there always. And, you know, I didn't have to go anywhere to get it, or I didn't have to be more religious than somebody else to get it, that I was, you know, free to get that help any time of the day or night, at any moment that I need it to rely on. So grateful that, you know, they were willing to sit and talk with this person and offer what they had. And that's what we do. We offer our experience, strength, and hope. We plant that seed. Sometimes it grows slowly. Sometimes it grows a little quicker. But planting that seed is just the beginning, right? At the very beginning of, you know, just a journey that is beyond my wildest dreams. So thank you, and I pass.
Darian K. And Mark L., you're up, followed by Debbie F. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. This is Mark L., and I'm from Hartford, Connecticut. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Molly, for your service work. Oh, man. I start off my day by reading three books. A page of the three books I read. About two people who I call, they start me off on my day. And especially my sponsors, my two sponsors, husband and wife, they truly helped me to get to where I am now. Without them, I don't know where I'd be. But that spiritual awakening, wow. Yes. And don't treat books in mind. What I use is the big boy alcohol anonymous. I take a page out of there and read for the day book. What is an excellent book? I put that little book in my pocket, and when my day go wrong, I pick it up and read it. And I do read a page out of the Bible, but that my way, myself. I can't tell anybody else what they should read, that their recovery, my recovery, is don't read book. But I just glad to be inside this fellowship one day at a time. And for that, I love you today, and thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Mark L. And Debbie F., you're up, followed by Mary G. And just reminding everybody, we're only discussing the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Debbie.
Great. Hi, I'm Debbie F., compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Great to be here this morning and hear these very short paragraphs, but they just jumped out at me. The spiritual experience and course of action and those two things there. And I love this idea that, well, he interrupted and, you know, but wait, that was me. Like, I don't know, you know, the skeptic, like I see that it seems like it's worked for other people, but I don't know. I've been dealing with this for, you know, decades and I don't know. And I don't understand this God thing. And I love this visual of the hangover mornings and sworn that I'd never touch another drop. I'd sworn I'd never do what I just did the night before. You know, that for me was it. The hopelessness of the next morning really being so desperate and not knowing what to do and trying the same thing over and over and thinking that it was going to be different. And it wasn't until I was able to really just give up, I think, surrendering to the process, you know, 9 years ago, you know, finding a sponsor and really just doing the work and being willing to be in whatever step I was in at that time and not have to get to the end to think if it was going to work. And that was really helpful for me around the God idea, because I had no concept of a God that was personal to me. And I had a lot of judgment about God. And even though I'd prayed to God of that I didn't think was really real, many times to fix my eating issues, to help me stop throwing up, to help me stop, you know, binging. And none of that worked. And it wasn't until I surrendered to, well, one, I had to understand that I had a disease. I didn't understand that before coming into these rooms, you know, and that I don't want to say knowledge, but education of myself and my body allowed me to breathe and give God a chance to come in and go, oh, it's not up to me to fix it. I can't fix it. That's been proven over and over. So I'm just really glad to be here. And there's so much. I'm so grateful. I don't have to be that skeptic anymore. And when that skepticism comes up and belief in a higher power kind of goes, oh, I go, oh, no, I just have to keep doing the work. Every day I take my medicine. And one day at a time, I'm still here. And I'm not going anywhere. And I'm abstinent. And have a life beyond what I'm going to eat. So thanks for all being here. Bye.
Thank you, Debbie. And before we hear from Mary G., just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 157, the seventh paragraph. The two friends spoke. And we're going to go through two paragraphs, ending on top of page 158, I'd be boiled as an owl. So, Mary G., please go ahead, and I'll take some more names after Mary G. shares. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary G. from Mesa, Arizona. We covered today by the grace of God, and I thank you all for letting me share and for all of your service for making this meeting possible. The first, the words that really just jumped out at me when I read these two paragraphs was, he interrupted. And that is was probably in the past one of my biggest character defects. I would interrupt because I knew better. I just simply knew. I knew that either the course of action they were talking about didn't work. I knew what a spiritual experience was, so I thought. And it kept me for 17 years in a state of chronic relapse in the rooms of OA because I knew what would work and what didn't work. I knew what I wanted on my food plan. I knew everything. And unfortunately, that was my problem, is I didn't know anything, and I didn't listen to other people. You know, I would hear people say that recovery came through working the steps, and I would say, but how do you do that? And they would start to explain to me the course of action, you know, the spiritual experience, and I'd say, but I already know that. I already know how to do that. And if I didn't say it out loud, I would say it in my head. I was totally unteachable. I simply wouldn't listen to them. And so what I've learned, I got to the point of desperation 17 years after I came in here that I said, oh, my gosh, I just cannot gain weight again. And I actually surrendered to my higher power and said, okay, I'm going to listen to somebody else, which, you know, it's still to this day I'm amazed because I didn't think it would work for me. I was convinced of all the buts, all the excuses, you know, all the reasons why this wasn't going to work for me. But once I was willing to listen and totally follow what another person told me, oh, my gosh, what a difference it made. And so I'm so grateful that, you know, today I can listen. Now, I still interrupt at times, which it's a very bad habit of mine, and I do try to catch it and practice new behavior of just being silent and learning to listen, you know, to really listen to what another person is saying and not trying to think of what I'm going to say next. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Mary G. So we're on page 157, the seventh and eighth paragraph, finishing on top of 158. Just reminding everyone, if you've shared in the last day or so, we ask that you step back and let others share. Who would like to share this morning?
Sherry M.
Okay, I heard Sherry M.
Heather
Kathleen
W.
Kathleen O. And I think I heard Heather W.
Pam M.
Gotcha, Pam M.
Lynn S.
Jordan L.
Lynn F. Is that S or F? Okay, I'll get that. I'll catch that. All right, so this is who I have. Sherry M., Kathleen O., Heather W., Pam M., Lynn F. or S., and Jordan L. Sherry M., go ahead, and you'll be followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Sherry M.
Good morning. This is Sherry M., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you so much. Really loving this part of the Vision for You chapter. I prayed so many. That was the story of my addiction every day, praying, please, God, let this be the last day that I destroy and kill myself. Please let me live through the day and help me to not pick up food again. And, you know, like it says, I think it says they lasted till 9 a.m. I am just a real compulsive overeater, and I couldn't make it probably till about 10 a.m. Every day I promised that I wouldn't eat, and then I'd eat. And I was so sick when I got into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, so sick and twisted with my perception and my diseased mind, that I would actually, you know, reach out to the fellows in the room that were anorexic, and I would ask them if they could give me tips on how not to eat. I mean, that's how disturbed I was in my thinking. And, you know, cut to how did I get recovered? How did I put the food down to start working the steps as outlined in the book? It's so hard. And if you're a compulsive overeater and you're new and you can't put the food down, I mean, I deal with it a lot. I work with newcomers, and it's really hard to get the 2-3 days. But I guess what worked for me is praying. You know, I used the prayer, God, please help me not to eat my alcoholic foods today. And then I had to act as if the prayer was answered, which means that's my part. I had to just not do it. I had to come up with a plan of action. What is my plan of action to get me through the day? Maybe that meant that I had to go to bed at 7 p.m. and not leave the bedroom, you know, all night, you know, until the next day. Like I had to take this very seriously. It's life or death. So I'm so grateful that I don't have to suffer in the disease today, that I am a free woman as a result of working the steps, putting the food down. And you know, the other thing is that my brain is so twisted that I also had to tell myself, Sherry, work the steps. You can put in your calendar in 2 months. If it doesn't get better, you can pick up all the food again. So like every day, I just don't eat today. But tomorrow, if I want it, I can relook at that. And I've never woken up the next day and wanting the food if I just live one day at a time. So thank you so much for letting me share and for your service. And I hope everyone has a blessed day. Bye.
Here I am. And Kathleen O, you're up, followed by Heather W. Good morning, Kathleen O.
Good morning, Sherry KB. Thank you for your service this morning. Good morning, everyone on the line, and all your amazing and incredible shares on this part of the big book. So Bill Dotson is clearly identifying in with Bill W. and Dr. Bob, because he's saying, you know, that's me. And when I would go on diets or sign up for Pay and Weigh, the only thing I realized I had in common with everyone else was that they were overweight too. And, you know, it's like, okay, I have something in common with these people. And that's about as far as I identified, because no one ever talked about anything about except the diet. So when I came into 12 steps, I realized everyone had the same insane and crazy behavior around food that I had, because people were talking about it. That, you know, once I started, I couldn't stop. People were talking about that, you know, saying tomorrow's always going to be another day. I'll start tomorrow. First bite always leads to 100. And all the crazy behavior around food other people were talking about, and I could totally identify in. So, you know, like Bill Dotson, I'd sworn off binge eating hundreds of times, only to be boiled as an owl. But I'd be drunk on the food and feeling physically miserable by 9 a.m. I think he was talking about maybe about 9 p.m. But, you know, an hour after getting up, I'd be back in it again. So diets never offered a solution to my problem. And telling me what to eat was not a solution, because eating wasn't even my problem. You know, I was spiritually sick. I had an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And so the solution was finding a power greater than myself and following the principles as laid out in this little chip of a book. I was actually offered a guarantee of abstinence. And that was something I never heard before. So, you know, when you're hopeless, desperate, and full of despair, as I was, what is this guarantee? Well, the guarantee is you have a food plan, because our only relief is entire abstinence, surrender, and ask a higher power for power. And this really does work. You know, God will do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And I found that to be absolutely true. So following this very simple course of action, we don't have to have food run our life. Bill Dotson's story gives us hope. He was hopeless, yet by following this course of action, he was able to get sober and stay sober. And, you know, in life, things don't always go our way, and they didn't for the two Bills or Dr. Bob, but those three never drank again. And we don't have to pick up food again to get the ease and comfort that comes at once when we're feeling restless, irritable, and discontent. So with this program of action, we can go to our higher power instead of the foods that make us crazy in the head. And there is truly nothing better than being of maximum service to God and those around us and having freedom from the food. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Heather W., you're up, followed by Pam M. Good morning, Heather W.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. So grateful for this reading and grateful for the shares. Yeah, they're short paragraphs, but they are extremely powerful. And, you know, the first thing they say, the two friends spoke of their spiritual experience and told them about the course of action they carried out. So, one, you know, I'm reminded we're not preaching here. We're not yelling, you know. They're just speaking. about their spiritual experience. And I always try to remember that with people who come to me, who reach out, potential people to work with, you know, just to speak about the spiritual experience. You know, and they say the course of action they carried out, right? So it tells us here there's a course of action that we have to carry out. You know, they had to do work. God didn't just, you know, strike them sober one more morning. They took a course of action. They carried out. They did the work. And then, as was already shared so well about the he interrupted, and that just really speaks to me, you know, how quickly I am to interrupt and say, I know. I had been in program for, you know, over 5 years before I started working with a recovered sponsor who I felt had been in program a shorter time than me. So she would tell me things and I'd think, well, I know that. She can't tell me. I've been in program longer. I had to humble myself and see, I don't know. Doesn't matter how long I've been in program. Doesn't matter what, because something isn't working, right? I'm still in the food. I don't know, you know. So I had to stop interrupting and start listening. And then, you know, when he says I used to be strong for the church, there are people in here with really strong faith, with really strong religious faith and experiences. You'll find priests and nuns in 12-step programs, you know. And I tell my sponsors who have a strong religious faith, I have a strong religious faith. But again, clearly something is missing, right? If we're still in the food, if we're still battling that addiction, something is missing, you know. And then just finally, I mean, the words, I swore I'd never touch another drop, but by 9 o'clock, and I mean, if that just isn't the life, you know, every night saying I'll never do it again, and then every morning saying, well, tomorrow I'll start, you know, it was every New Year's I'll start, you know, every Monday, and then, you know, by Wednesday I'd be at the same point. Or I remember when things got so bad for me, you know, what, 1 second I wake up and I say, okay, not binging today. And then the next moment, literally rolling over, finding food from the night before and going to that. And just, you know, the vicious addiction cycle and the hell that caused. But I'm so grateful to be free of that, you know, to be free of that phenomenon of craving, to be free of that bodily allergy, and then to be free of that mental twist, you know. And I know I never have to eat compulsively again, and I'm just so grateful for that. So with that, I will pass, and thank you all for letting me share.
Heather W. and Pam M., you're up, followed by Lynn F. or S. Good morning,
Blessed morning, Pam M. in the Adirondack Mountains. Standing in my garden, the sun pouring down on me, how can we not feel blessed? And I so strongly identify with so much of what everyone has said. And I am a spiritual leader in my community. People look to me for spiritual advisement. And yet I was over 300 pounds, depressed and miserable, acted like an angel in front of everyone. And when nobody was looking, I was binging my brains out and then starving myself to try to counteract the binge. In front of everybody, I was eating salads and smoothies and acting higher than thou. But my inner world was completely disrupted. And you know, I did exactly the same thing. You know, first of all, I, even though I'm a spiritual person, certain words don't resonate me, like with the words like God, but spiritual I can identify with. And so thank God now I feel very comfortable with that word. I could identify with that word and I was able to better relate to the topics. But my spiritual life before program was always asking God to do something for me. And it had nothing to do with living in serenity with the power of my higher power's wishes, I was not in alignment with my higher power. And I did the same exact thing. I had all sorts of crazy diets that I did and things that I tried, and I would try it. I always said I was going to try it for this long, and then I was going to be this much. I was going to weigh this much. I was going to look this way. I was going to feel this way, and I was going to have this, 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 and that. And never did it enter my bewildered mind that I might be able to eat three meals a day with nothing in between and remain in constant contact with God. So the kind of faith that they're talking about, the kind of spiritual experience that these fellows are talking about, isn't this one and done, we say a prayer and it's fixed. It's constant contact with your higher power, however you understand your higher power to be. Maybe it's a dandelion. Whatever your higher power is, it has to be that constant contact. Today I have a practice of praying every morning and praying every night, meditating with those prayers, but also with every interaction, I need to connect with my higher power. I have to constantly check in because I have this, as an addict, I have this primal, visceral reaction to go to the negative and take things personally and feel selfish about things and experience anguish and resentment and play things over and over in my mind. And thank you. And now I can know to say that prayer and get back into alignment with spirit. So that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam M. And Lynn F., as in Frank, or S. as in Sam, you're up, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, Sherry KB. This is Lynn S., as in sunshine.
Thank you, sunshine.
And the sun is shining here today. I've been sitting here, I was listening to the first meeting, and now listening to this meeting and just reflecting back and saying, what was different? What was different between all those times where I had reached out to God, beseeching, begging, bargaining? My favorite one is, God, if you love me at all, please don't let me gain weight when I had to step on the scale and all this jazz. But I realized as I was sitting here, like, what was the difference? And, you know, the other prayers, because I didn't believe in God, first of all, anyway, and I didn't really when I came into program either, but the difference was, it was bargaining. If you love me at all, do this. If you do this for me, I promise. And the only thing I ever prayed to God for was to lose weight. I don't even think I ever prayed to stop eating because I didn't want to stop eating. I wanted to eat what I was eating and not gain any weight. But it was that frothy emotional appeal, whether I had the big teary eyes looking up to the ceiling or if I was on that giddy high that I would get from all the food I was stuffing in myself and then not wanting the natural world consequences of eating your face off, you're going to gain weight. You know, somehow I was looking for that magic. But I remember when I came into program, and I remember saying, God, it can't be that you looked down and wanted the whole world to be happy but me, Lynn Skilling, and you want me to be miserable. There's something wrong with me. I remember I had that much moment of clarity, I guess, to acknowledge there was something wrong with me. And then when I was in the meeting, I heard, thank God for what you want as if you already have it. And I remember coming home that night and thanking God for letting me sleep through the night, because I would always wake up in the middle of the night and then heave myself out of bed and go to the all-night gas station and buy whatever. So I don't know the combination. I don't know what it was, but I know that frothy emotional appeal and the bargaining was left, and I truly reached out to God and sincerely just asked for help. And that, plus working the steps, made all the difference in my life. And hearing that we have a disease, a physical allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, that only a spiritual answer can help. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Lynn S. Jordan L., you're up, and we might have time for one more. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Sherry. This is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado.
and grateful to be on a meeting with you guys this morning. the two friends, I like that there's two of them here. The odds are better. there's two friends speaking in this guy of a spiritual experience, two very different people, right? That both had very different feelings about God before all of this, before getting sober. and I love that he interrupts them. I'm a bit of a know-it-all, so I can relate to that. And two, so I sponsor these days. And sponsees, they like to interrupt too. and it's all good, you know, like it's all good. My primary function as a sponsor is to listen. So it's all good if they need to interrupt, you know. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to get here and have this feeling that you're not being heard or something, you know. and it's funny. I've been abstinent for a little while, just like a little while. It's a long time for me, but I know that there's a lot of people that have been abstinent for decades here, right? And it's funny because this, like, still isn't an intellectual exercise. If it was, I would have figured it out a long time ago. I'm a pretty smart girl. But it's still not an intellectual exercise. This is still about a spiritual experience. It's still about me being beyond human aid and coming to believe that there's something greater than me that can bring me to a place of sanity around food, of all things, right? I never ate saline in my entire life, at least not that I can remember, up until the last couple of years here, you know. And I, too, I had a lot of foxhole prayers about losing weight. I was sure, I was absolutely sure that if I was just skinny, life would be good and I could be that good person that I thought everyone else in a higher power wanted me to be, you know. And it's the opposite. It's actually flipped around, right? I come here and I hear your guys' stories and I start to my behavior begins to shift. So the way that I carry myself in this world. and that is that's how I start to feel deserving of all of this, you know. So anyway, glad to be on the line this morning. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. And who would like to take the last share for about 2.5 minutes?
Susie H. from Pensacola.
Go ahead, Susie. Susie, go ahead, please. Hello? Okay, Susie, I think, didn't hear me. Would someone else like
Carrie H.?
I'm sorry?
Carrie S.? Carrie
I
H.
I heard somebody before Carrie S. Go ahead. Who was the person before that?
Terry H.
Okay. Go ahead, Terry H. You've got about a minute and a half.
I'll do my best. I'm Terry H. I'm in Pensacola, Florida, recovered and grateful for one day at a time. God and I have been in a relationship since the beginning of time. And when I got to that chapter on agnostic, I didn't need that chapter in my own head. And then when I was reading it, and I didn't say anything out loud because I have an image that I'm very careful with, and that is so funny. And so anyway, I had this image that I didn't want them to know that I didn't need that chapter, but I was called on it. And they said, you're an agnostic. You believe in God, but you believe only certain things about God. Your faith is weak. Well, let me tell you, I did throw a tensor tantrum, and it was in my head. And no one ever knew that. But today I know I just had a bargain with you. If you won't let me cry, I'll talk today, because I always talk in the morning at 5:45 so that I can claim my seat. I think it's very important to claim my seat. And I, anyway, here I am. God is my best friend, and I believe that he can do anything because he's got me abstinent. He's keeping me abstinent. And I have a gratitude list that I do every morning and every night, because sometimes I have to be reminded how blessed I am. And I've got a great God squad. Most of those have come from my 10-step buddies, and they're all over the world. And I'm grateful for that. I've got one friend that says, I say, dear God, today you can take the day off because I can handle this.
All right.
And that is what I was doing. And I don't have to do that anymore. It's God's in control. So thank you for letting me share. And that's all. Okay.
And thank you, Terry H. Well, that's all the time we have today. What a great meeting, folks. We appreciate all your shares today. I want to take the time to thank Team Friday. Thank you so much, Team Friday, for all your service today. And so now we're going to hear, please stay tuned, and we are going to have more announcements after we close our meeting. So we're going to read on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, where Jordan L., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Jordan?
Hey, good morning again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. And may God bless you and keep you.